who we just thank God, we pray that you would visit our friend, amen, our guest, that you put Philly part of the Coppe family, where we believe and serve in one Lord, there's one faith, one spirit, and most of all, there's only one baptism. So we say, praise the Lord, can you say praise God back?
Praise the Lord!
Come on, praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Surely God is good, amen. We don't want to belabor the moment. Just one friendly reminder to everyone. Service starts at 12, but it officially starts at 11:30.
Amen.
Because we want to get a half an hour of prayer.
Yes, sir.
For God to bless the service. So when we come in, when it cannot be controlled, it is one thing. But when we come in at the last minute and our minds are displaced and scattered, it takes a little while to bring it together. Amen. And we always want to pray for God to bless and for strongholds to be broken. So we're going to ask everyone if you could please try to be in service by 11:30, and ministers and leadership should be here at 11 o'clock. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Psalms, the 91st division of Psalms. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 91, and we're going to read verse 1, and we will all conclude by reading verse 11 together. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 11. If we have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
How many can say God's been good to me? Can we just try to wave off?
Yes, sir.
If you can say God has been good to me, hallelujah. Verse 1 reads, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast faith the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all that I shall pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for the honor, the privilege, and the opportunity that we have to assemble in your presence. Lord, this afternoon, Lord, we ask you to set the captive free. Lord, those that are wounded and bruised, Lord, we ask you to heal them. Lord, those that eyes have been blinded by the adversary, we ask you to open the eyes. Lord, those that have a deaf ear to hear thy word, we ask you to open the ears of their understanding. And Lord, enlighten us this afternoon through thy word. Lord, send the word of anointing, send thy word of inspiration. Lord, anything contrary to what we ask you, to suffocate it even now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we believe that when the saints begin to pray, for our God can have his way, that we can feel the glory of the Lord coming down, Lord, dwell in our midst. And for this we thank you, can we all say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We just thank God this afternoon, once again, for God being God. Hallelujah. God is God. Our thought this afternoon will be coming from the second verse. For the sake of time, we'll cut out all of the ordinary preliminaries. Let's just get to the meat of the matter. Amen. Thy word have I found, and I did eat it. So let's get right to the word. Amen. Job said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How many of us can say that My God, in him will I trust. My God, in him will I trust. And our message this afternoon, and I will trust in the Lord. Amen. You know, as I was preparing the message, I went way back to when I was a child. When we grew up, I grew up in the house, and you know, we grew up, we had a bunch of religions in our family. We were Baptists, we were Methodists, we were Pentecostals. So when we sing, we got a little of every flavor. Amen. But the Baptists used to sing, I will trust in the Lord till I die. Amen. And you know, as I was preparing this morning, and the song just kept going over and over, because it really wasn't my message, but it just kept going over and over in my mind. I will trust in the Lord till I die. Amen. And you know, as I was preparing, and then some of the words of the psalmist started just resonating through my mind of how the psalmist says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and that his ears are open to their prayer. The scripture says, the righteous man cries, and the Lord heareth him and delivereth him out of all of his trouble. Amen. A righteous man cries, and the Lord hears him and delivers him out of all of his trouble. But then he concluded, you can read this on your own time in Psalm 34, he concluded that the Lord is nigh unto them that are in a broken spirit. I think sometimes when we come to church, we come too proud. Amen. We don't want to dance too much. We don't want to sing too hard. We want to just sit there and be proper, but as I was preparing, I said, you know, it's something about being broken. Amen. It's something broken me, Lord, just as I am. If you were to examine me with your eyes, I'm short. If you were to examine me, I got lots of faults and I got lots of failures. If you were to examine me, I have to ask, Lord, what am I that you're even mindful of? But the psalmist says, God is dying to get that our broken spirit, and he saves such as be of a contrite heart. This afternoon, my desire more than anything, Lord, break me down. Lord, strip me of me. When you look at me, God, I want you to see something in my life. Lord, when you look at me, I want you to look beyond the outward appearance. I want you to see my brokenness. David, after he failed God, David cried out and he said this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Amen. When you come to church, saints, listeners, and friends, you got to come humbly before God. You can't come before God all proud and lifted up. David realized, though I'm king, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. But then he goes on to say, broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou art not despised. When we come to church, don't come because I'm missing a mission or whatever you are. Just come just as I am. Dear Lord, I come just as I am, and I'm withholding nothing. Lord, I present myself before you, and Lord, I ask you to speak thy word. Lord, find me out. It's more important for me to be right in the eyes of God than to be right in my own eyes. It's more important for me to be right in the eyes of God than to be right in your eyes. So I said, Lord, break me. Lord, strip me. Lord, take away pride. Lord, I don't need a pat on the back. My greatest desire, I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. How can you be faithful when you're fighting against God with your own will that's in conflict to God's will? So this afternoon, I will trust in the Lord. Trust. And the scripture says there's a difference between faith and trust. There really is a difference. Because a lot of people think they have faith in God. You know, they say, well, I know God is going to work it out. But when things don't seem to work like you think they're going to work out, you get involved because you don't really trust. Amen. Faith, you say, I believe. But when rubber really gets to roll, when it comes to you, man, chance. Amen. Lord, I believe that you're going to work it out, but sometimes, you know, as you get into your quiet moments, you really begin to question God because you don't really trust him. A lot of times, God will tell you, brother or sister, come on with me. Just stay on my side. He said, this, you got to trust me. There are some situations in some of our lives we really don't trust God. We really don't trust God. He said, no, I believe, I have faith I can move a mountain. Amen. Well, why don't are we faithful to church? Why are we not faithful to our worship with God? Why are we faithful in our devotion? Because we don't trust. But I don't know about you, but I will trust in the Lord till I die. Amen. I don't need nobody else to give me a prognosis or a diagnosis of how to get to God. Lord, I just come just as I am. Lord, I come broken. Lord, I come humbly. Lord, I submit. Amen. The scripture says that the devil's desire is to have all of us, that he may sift us as wheat. The devil wants none of us to make it to heaven. I don't care how holy you are, how righteous you are. The devil does not want you to make it to heaven. And because he doesn't want you to make it to heaven, he will send trials your way to break you down. Amen. Just when you are on your way up, something will happen out of the ordinary and send you back down. That's what the devil has put you in a Job experience. Job said, the thing that I feared the most, the thing that I didn't expect to happen has happened unto me. And initially, in the midst of the trial, Job had a mind to praise God. The scripture said, Job blessed the Lord and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord has given, now God has taken some things away, but Job
Bye.
If you're losing your confidence and trust in God, He's the only one that has the right to begin your faith and finish it. If you're not looking unto Jesus, how are you going to have your faith finished? God has started us. Amen. Many of us did run well. But Paul asked the Galatian church the question, what doth hinder you now? Amen. You were excited about being saved in the beginning. You were excited about what God was doing in your life. But Paul said, who has bewitched you? In other words, who has put an evil spell over you that now you are withdrawing yourself from God? What doth hinder you now? Now, you know, we like to cop all these excuses. Can we be real today? I'm going to be real, y'all can talk about me later, but that's all right. Because I will trust in the Lord. Amen. I want to be real. We let people, we let situations, or we let talk stop us from coming to God. I didn't say coming to church, I said coming to God. When you stop coming to God, then you stop coming to church. That's just an indication that you're not trusting Him. We allow new things. Paul said, I'll add afflictions which last but a what? Moment. He said, let God work them in you, for they will work in you a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory. But we let little things stop us. It's the children. It's the job. It's the neighborhood. It's my wife. Stop making up all these excuses and bring it to Jesus. We say we trust Him. But when the rubber really meets the road, we walk in self-pity. We walk in sympathy. And when we don't get enough sympathy, then we want some empathy. Amen. Well, brother, sister, you don't know how bad my situation is. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Amen. How can you get rest in the midst of your trial? Outside of Jesus. How do you get rest when you stay outside of God? Amen. Psalm 34 says that the angel of the Lord. How many need an angel? Lord, I need an angel. Amen. You know what an angel does? It protects you. It keeps you. An angel shields you from all types of things. It says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about him, them that fear God. To fear God means you trust God. Amen. And then the psalmist said, well, just to let you know how much I fear and trust God, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is. Amen. I don't care about what everybody else is doing. God is still good. God will never change. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And most of all, blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Amen. God has been too good to us. God has been too much of a way maker. Why are we losing trust in God? Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth Him. Can you repeat that with me? Say, blessed is the man that trusteth Him. Now the next time your trial seems to weigh you down so much, trust Him. You can't get blessed outside of that. Amen. It said on the flip side, Jeremiah said, curse be the man that trusts in man and forget about God. My question, real talk this afternoon, have you forgot about God because of somebody else? Because of a trial, because of something someone has said and done, have you stopped trusting God? They said, no, I trust God. Well, if you really trust God, amen, when you had a choice to make the right decision, did you make that decision based on God or the fear or the consequences for that someone else down? Amen. When I trust God, I won't let God down, but I'll let you down, because even if I messed up, I'll let you down. Because I trust God, He will take the crooked things in my life and make them straight. not God. Woe be unto the man that puts his trust in man. Blessed, you can read it about it because of time we're late. Read Jeremiah chapter 17. He said, blessed is the man that trusts in God and whose hope the Lord is. A lot of us have lost hope. Amen. We go through the motions of being on God's side. We go through the motions of being in church. But in all actuality, many of us have lost hope in God. Well, why can you say that? Amen. Because when things don't work out like you want them to work out, you take it out on God. You say, how? Say, God, you know what? I'm not going to do this today because I thought you should have done that. Now, I'm not going to fill in all the blanks. I'm going to go blank, blank, blank. Now, you know in your life, if you use some things to distance yourself from God, you know, and God knows. Today is about putting your full trust in God. You know, one of the tools that the devil uses against the church is working on our minds, exaggerating things to make them so much worse than they are. When Moses sent the 12 spies out to spy on the land of Canaan, 10 of them brought back an evil report and 2 brought back a good report. Well, the 10 that brought back the evil report said, everything looked like giants. The things are too big. Hard. They said, we cannot do this. We will be destroyed. That's putting confidence in man. But Joshua and Caleb steal the people. He said, now God has told us what he's going to do. He said that if we are obedient to God and delight ourselves in God, shall not he perform his word that he's spoken unto us? So the majority always see the trial as too big. Oh, the church will never do this, or the grid never do that. Stop being a bad spot and start believing God. Caleb and Joshua believed God. And they said, if God delights in us, amen, shall not he perform his word that he's spoken? In order for God to delight in you, you must also delight yourself in the Lord. We want God to do everything, but what do we want to do in our situations? We just want to work it out our way. It says that if God delights in us, but now thanks to God, you must also delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart. Most of us talk a good religious Holy Ghost service, but we don't live it. We don't really believe down in our souls that God can do all that he says he can do. We will compromise to please another individual without pleasing God. Amen. Hosea said it this way. He said, know ye this. He said, now for those of you that choose to live your life according to your own mind, your own will, and your desire, be assured of this very thing. The word of God will find you out. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about what people think. God's word will find you out. Amen. So what Hosea said, then it's time for you to sow in righteousness. What is righteousness? The things that are pleasing to God. When you sow your seed in righteousness, then you're going to reap a righteous harvest. The question that we should all center around ourselves today is, what type of seeds are you sowing? What are you sowing? Because we reap exactly what we sow. If we sow confusion and mess and division and garbage, that's what we're going to reap. But the scripture says that God is not involved with confusion. Amen? So what are you sowing? What are you sowing in your house? What are you sowing in the family? What are you sowing on the job? What are you sowing in the neighborhood? Are you sowing strength or are you sowing division? It's important. What are you sowing? God's word is immutable, which means it will not be changed nor altered for any of us. So we go out and do what we want to do. We sow all these bad His word will not be altered. Today it's time to make a gut check. You know what? Let's call it looking good for church. Now, throw that out. Amen. Because the Bible says we might look on your outward appearance, but God is judging your heart. God is seeing the very fabric of your being, because your heart is a reflection of your soul. Amen. You talk the right talk, you dance the right dance, but down in your heart, God is judging you. God is discerning. Amen. Everybody else is, God said, you know you had the opportunity to do right and you did wrong. You know you had the opportunity to come to me and you distanced yourself from me. God said, now I can't bless you when you're wrong. Because the more I bless you when you're wrong, the further you're getting away. Amen. Some of us have gotten so far away from God, we don't even take time to bless our food before we eat. Some of us have gotten so far away from God, when it's time to make a decision, we do not acknowledge God. We call our best friend, our mother, our father, or someone close to us, and we forget about God. You're too far away from God. It's time to draw nigh unto God, and then God will draw nigh unto you. Amen. When we submit ourselves to God, James says, and then we resist the devil, he'll flee. Many of us are resisting the devil, but we're not submitting to God. We're trying to fix all of our problems by trusting in a man or ourselves. And God is so far away. Amen. In the midst of a trial, all of these evil thoughts go through our minds instead of God's blessings and word. Because we're getting too far away. It's time for us to return back to God. Hosea says, sow seeds of righteousness and then return back to God. It's time to come back to God. Throw all the excuses out in the trash. The Bible says, God said, I do not see a man see. I know all those excuses you made up, and, you know, everybody else is pretty convincing. God said, I really see you. I see the fabric of your soul with me. You're misleading, you're misguided. Amen. You're living as a hypocrite because it's not real. It's time for us to return to God. You know, I told my wife, I said, well, you know what, most of the time people ain't gonna come back to our church, but you know what? If you don't come back, I will. When you hear this word, you'll know what your soul's supposed to be like. That's right. I'm not going to tell you everything to make you feel good if you walk out of church and you lost. Right. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, well, you're this, you're that, you can't come out of church. All that stuff is garbage. You know what? Let's throw the garbage out. Let's be real with God. The reason that we're in the position that many of us are in is because of our relationship with God. Nobody else and nothing else. You distance yourself from God if he did it and she did it and they did it and they did it and they. Jesus asked, God asked the children of Israel a question. Now, I wasn't supposed to go this way, but y'all gonna have to stay on the horse and abide because I'm a stage coach. Amen. If you want to get to where I'm going, you gotta stay on my coach. All right? So I wasn't supposed to go this way, but you know what? I'm gonna tell you the truth. All right? Talk about me later, but I'll mention that anyway. I got strong shoulders. I got strong shoulders. Ezekiel said this. He said, if you don't warn the people and they die in their sin, their blood is going to require at your hand. But if I warn you concerning your sin and your unrighteousness and you stay in that condition, then your blood is going to require at your hand. Amen. Isaiah said it like this concerning preachers and men of God and priests and pastors. He said, both of them are like dead dogs that can't even, like sleeping dogs that can't even bark. They won't warn the people. They won't cry loud and stand up and lift up their voice like a trumpet. They just let my people continue to wander in sin and in transgression. I'm not a dumb dog. I'm going to bark. It's The devil has a dumb mind. The Bible says the devil believes that there is one God. You know, the devil believes there is one God, but then he does have enough presence of mind to tremble. We believe in God, we can act ugly, and do the wrong thing and have no shame. Amen. Don't have no reverence. Don't shake it off. Brother, sister, did you know? Yeah, I know I did. The devil has no sense to tremble. What's going on in our hearts? What's going on in our minds? No hiding place. The only safe place this afternoon is trusting in God. Amen. We know, like I said, we make up so many excuses for what we're not who we are to be. The only problem is that you have purpose down in your soul that God is my everything. Amen. I love my wife, and I know my wife loves me, but when it comes, she won't let me do the wrong thing. Right, Gio, wait for you. My wife won't let me do the wrong thing. And I try my best not to let her do the wrong thing. You do know how, I've heard all kinds of garbage talk, but I don't think, I told somebody years ago, I don't listen to talk. Talk don't mean nothing to me. I know what I am, and I know who I am, and I know what I stand for. I stand for God, truth, and righteousness. So I don't need you to evaluate my situation. But we do need, the Bible said, judge ourselves. Many of us, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. But then he turned around and said, if we would judge ourselves, then we won't need for God to judge us. I'm going to ask you in this period right now, judge yourself. All excuses going out the book. Because God can change our every situation when we put our complete trust in Him. But how can God help you when you're so far away from Him? Just like most of us have parents, when our kids were growing up, you know, your child is going through something, and you're trying to help them, and they won't let you help them. All of your parents, you know how it is, and you have someone that you try to help, and you keep pleading with them, and you just listen. I would never tell you anything to hurt you. I'm going to always say something to help you. We plead with them. But they seem to give an ear to everything else but the one that cares about them the most. So do we with God. God, the Bible says, His ears are open up to the prayers of the what? Righteous. Can you be righteous and wrong at the same time? Absolutely not. The reason that God has not heard any of our prayers is we're not in right standing with Him. Amen. When God examines us on a daily basis, God looks at us and says, yep, evil thoughts, evil heart, evil motives. God says, no. Paul tells the church of Corinthians, I know y'all say that. This ain't what we came to church for. This ain't what we came to name. Paul tells the church of Corinthians that, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and if I'm not real with God, he says, if I don't have charity, that means if I'm not real with God, he said, it profits me nothing. This afternoon, if you don't have a true love for God and His word and the truth, all your serving and worshiping is profiting you nothing. Amen. It's time to be real with God. Put your complete trust in Him. How do you put your trust in Him? The Lord, you know, for so many months, so many years, I've been doing me. Amen. Everybody who don't know what doing me means, raise your hand. Oh, I just learned two marks. I can't remember. It means it's all about you. I don't know what it means. Everybody say, I'm going to do me. I said, what does that mean? Doing you means you don't think about God. You don't think about anybody else. We become, the Bible says it in 2 Peter chapter 2, we become self-willed and presumptuous. Presumptuous means this. You know you're wrong. You know what you said was wrong. You know what you did was wrong, but you did not do it right. Can you turn to Psalm 19? This is the last scripture we go over. That you know it wrong, but you didn't get it right. Amen. I'm going to read it for you because I could quote it, but I don't want you all to think I make up scriptures. All right? Amen. So we read it. Is it black and white or is it in the book? We're going to go to verse 13. Peter tells them about being presumptuous and self-willed. Presumptuous and self-willed means that we place a higher value or premium on our own opinion of things than God. Presumptuous and self-willed, I put a higher premium. My opinion supersedes that of God. That's what it means to be presumptuous and self-willed. Verse 13:3. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Lord, keep me back from being self-willed. And knowing I know the right to do, but I don't do it. Amen. Paul said, I know the good that I should do, but there's another enemy working in my flesh. So the bad that I would not do, I do, and then the good that I should do, I won't do it. Why? Because there's a working down in my flesh. He said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin, a self-will, he said, let them not have what? Dominion. Many of us in the situation we're in, but we just keep presuming on God. The more you presume, the more you go against God, the more that situation has dominion. Amen? The more you stay as you are, the longer you refuse to submit to God, that situation now is controlling you, and you don't realize that you're not controlling it. Because you're presuming on God's mercy through sin, and it has the dominion. Amen? The Bible says, of whom a man is overcome, of the sin is he brought into bondage. Well, how did you get into bondage? You're presuming on God's mercy by continually sinning. Amen? Let them not have dominion. Then he said, this is the only way that I shall be upright. And I shall be innocent of the great transgression. As we stand, many of us this afternoon, we're not innocent because we keep presuming on God's mercy by sin. When you presume on God's mercy by sinning, and you refuse to change, that situation now controls you. It dominates you. It makes you react how it wants you to react because you're not submitting to God in uprightness and holiness. This afternoon, we need to examine ourselves. Plain church, plain salvation, it's time to be real. As the ministers come forward, it's time to be real. Do you really trust God today? Is your situation of such that when you look at the trial test, does it dictate your reaction? Are your reaction dictated by God?